This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Please be advised that Little Miss Recap contains adult language.
Hi everyone, welcome to Little Miss Recap, the podcast where Emily's simmering rage is keeping this whole thing, this whole show going. Like, she is at a 4. We see the previews for the reunion. She's going to be at a 9,
yeah.
Possibly a 10. We're going to need a raincoat, popcorn. I mean, it looks wild.
I mean, I will bring the popcorn for that.
I'm here for it.
Wait for that reunion.
I'm here for it.
Me
like
too.
This is getting good. Did we need the last 2 or 3 episodes?
Probably
like,
not.
Couldn't they have taken the parts where the girls versus the boys, for lack of better terms, couldn't they put all of those scenes in one episode and we could have just had one episode?
Probably, but you know.
Did we need
do that?
Did we need Orion begging Lauren to build a bridge?
Amy, do we ever need Orion? Who ordered him? I didn't.
Steph. Do you want to build a bridge?
No, fucking no. Burn your bridge down. Your dick bridge. Get out of here.
Oh, guys, my name's Amy Archer. I'm here with the noodle to my pasta, noodle to my sauce, noodle to my meatball. There, I got
meatball,
there.
Meatball, there you go.
Steph, what's up, Steph?
What's up, Amy?
How are you? How you feeling?
I feel a lot better.
We missed you last week.
I know. I'm sorry. I was very sick, but
it's okay.
I'm better.
I forced you to step away last week. I forced you.
You did, because I was ready to go, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel a little junky, but I'm all right.
When can I order the soap? Waiting for the soap orders here.
Some online now.
Yeah, but you told me that you would have a lot more online.
Well,
maybe next
I will
week.
Next
okay.
week.
Okay. Next so week. There's
We're
it's coming every day. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I love your little soap adventure. I think it's great.
Thanks. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like they take 4 to 6 weeks to cure.
Mm.
So like every batch has like a date that they're going to be ready. So it's like the ones that are ready are on there now, but there's more coming. Lots more.
Okay.
Lots.
I have next week a documentary coming at you guys. It's The Truth About Jim, HBO Max. I'm talking with Jodie Weber. And I'm very excited to talk with her. It's going to be the first time we're collabing.
Sweet.
I'm going to meet with her tomorrow.
Fun.
So that will be coming out maybe over the weekend. I have to see like what we have going on. And then Daughters of the Cult will be on Patreon in
That's
April.
Exciting.
Very excited.
That story I'm fascinated by. That was
I'm fascinated too. I had a lot of problems with the structure of the documentary.
Oh, me too. It was really a pain in the ass, to be quite honest. But it's fucking wild story.
Remind me at the end of this to give you my thoughts on Apples Fall Far, Apples Never Fall.
Oh, I just finished
Newton
it.
And Apples,
or not finished.
Whatever.
Did we finish it? Yes. Apples Never. Yeah, Patrick and I finished it.
Apples Never Roll. What's the name of it?
Apples Never Fall.
Okay. I'll give you some thoughts. I just watched one.
Mm. Oh, okay.
But I have some first impressions I'd like to share at the end of the episode. Okay. So today we're talking Married at First Sight, season 17, episode gazillion. No, it's 23. Second Time's the Charm. Okay.
Ooh.
So Chloe meets up with Caesar, who we love. We love Caesar.
Yeah, we do.
We all need a Caesar in our lives.
We do.
And he's like, how are you guys doing? And she starts getting emotional and she says, Michael fucking woke me up out of a dead sleep last night to tell me he wasn't ready for marriage. Michael.
Oh, Michael.
Michael. Come on. Come on.
I have so many mixed emotions about these two.
Caesar's like, whoa, didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, me either. Like, this is wild. And she says she thinks Michael's going to say no. And he said, you didn't feel this way 2 weeks ago. How did it change so fast? She said, I think Michael was scared. And then this would have been the perfect place for a flashback to the Green Acres segment where she's on the farm. But we get that later.
Yeah, I know. What do you think happened?
Okay, here's what I think. I think Michael and Chloe are not a good match. I think that they are both emotionally intelligent, mature people.
I do too.
I think that he is conscientious and kind, mm-hmm. and probably is somebody who does a lot for charity, but he doesn't want to devote his life to it. He still likes to be a little bougie. He likes a little bit of the finer things in life, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she wants to devote her life to causes and, you know what I mean? And I don't know.
What do you think? But I don't know what I think. That's what I'm struggling with because I agree with everything that you're saying. But then there's a part of me that, like, as much as she says, you know, she's a minimalist and yada yada, I don't see that. I think that's not real. I mean, I don't know what I think. I agree with everything that you're saying. You're probably right. I wanted more for them.
Here's how I feel. I think Michael has become a reliable narrator to me, and I trust him.
Yeah, me too.
I think if Chloe was being real fake about that stuff, he would let us know that.
Yeah, no, so I don't think she's being fake about it. I just think her idea of what minimalist is doesn't match what
She's not doing is. Like period cups and biodegradable plates. And
I did that.
But she's not doing that. I think she is.
I don't know what she's putting in her vag, so I don't want to call that, but.
But I'm just saying, like, that's a minimalist. Like somebody who, I'm wrong because I'm conflating somebody who recycles and is earth conscious with being a minimalist. And those two things aren't necessarily the same. Right.
So I'm just looking back to like.
But they're not always.
Like when I think of minimalist, I think of someone who lives like a very vanilla life. Doesn't have a lot of excess.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? And I don't see that with her. I mean,
like
I don't
somebody
know,
who like thrifts for their clothes and doesn't have a lot of extra things. Like us in our 20s.
Yes.
No money to travel, no money to even leave your house. Yes.
Right. Exactly. But remember that episode when they like took us to her apartment? Like she had a beautifully decorated, not that, you know, not that minimalists don't have nice homes. I don't mean that. I just feel like minimalist to me just is not what I see in Chloe. I don't know.
I think there's a degree of minimalist. Like, I consider myself a little bit of a minimalist in that I don't buy nice clothes. I don't have makeup. I don't have skincare products. I don't have a lot of shoes. Like, I'm not that kind of person, but I love things for my house. So I'm not a minimalist. I'm just kind of like in certain areas of my life I am. Yes. And maybe that's what she thinks.
I think you could be onto something. I just know I'm definitely not a minimalist.
Right. And a lot of people aren't.
If there's a new skincare product to buy, I will be the first one to have it.
Not me. I just use a soap and I'm going to be using your soap soon. That's it.
You don't put anything on your face like a vitamin C?
I do have a moisturizer that I buy that is kind of expensive. And that's the one thing I buy because we have a wood burner and I get such dry skin in the winter. So I have, and when I say expensive, it's $40 for like a pretty big jar of it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I spend probably $40 every 2 years on moisturizer.
Oh my God, I hate you.
Dear Lord. All right.
All right.
So anyway, she is crying. She says she can't imagine her life without Michael, but at the same time, she's not sure they're right for one another. Yeah. And I agree with her. I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either. I just wanted them to be.
I wanted them to be too. Because I think she truly, they're both coming out of this better people.
I agree with that.
We cannot say that for everybody else.
No. Mm-mm. No. Like literally no one else except maybe Lauren.
So let's talk about this dinner. Oh. This last dinner. The final supper. The last supper. There, I got there.
Last. What is that song?
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
That's not the one that I was going for, but isn't there one that's like Last Dance? Or something? I don't know.
Careless Whisper? Why am I so in Wham today?
I don't know.
Careless Whisper was not your song. Your song was, then you told me that you're having my baby. That one. That's not Careless Whisper. Okay. Austin gets there at the dinner. He hugs Becca and they hug a real long time. Mm-hmm. I almost kind of wish these two made it too.
Me too.
Because again, I don't think he's a bad guy.
I don't either, but I think he was a real idiot. And yeah, I still don't understand why he went about this the way that he did. I don't understand.
Let me clarify. He's not dumb like stupid. He's like relationship dumb.
Yeah.
Like he just does stupid things in relationships because he's not thinking. You know what I mean? Becca needs somebody who's extremely emotionally intelligent.
Becca needs a Michael. How do I make that happen? Michael, that could if you're happen. Listening, slide into
Why are
DMs.
We just trying to fix Michael up with all these women?
Because I like him and I want him to
Michael and Lauren is the couple to beat.
Michael and Lauren. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that could be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really see him with a Becca.
Claire isn't coming because she has to work at night. And Emily's, who needs therapy at night? My kid goes to therapy at night.
Yeah, many of us have.
Many people do.
Yeah, let's be honest. Most people want that because trying to take time off during the day for fucking therapy is hard if you're working.
I used to go to therapy on my lunch hour because it was next to where I worked. And I would come back, have to like reapply all of my Wet n Wild eyeliner because I cried it all off.
I hate you.
All right. So Brennan isn't coming either because he has fucking softball because of course he does.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And Emily's like, oh, what dedication to an intramural sports team.
Ella, shut up.
She just has something to say about everything.
I know.
And this is, I think, what Brennan was talking about when he was saying mean girl behavior.
Yeah.
And Brennan's a tool. Don't get me started, but.
Yes, yes, yes.
Two things can be true.
I'm not going to lie. I'm over most of these people. I want them out of my screens. I don't want to talk about them ever again. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But guys. Season 18, we'll be right here covering it.
And I kind of can't wait.
So Cameron isn't there either. Steph, would you like to give us Cam's excuse in Cam's voice?
Cameron had a broken heart and he had to get his heart flutter fixed. I don't even know why he did it. I don't even know why. Why didn't he come? I don't even remember.
He didn't show. I'm going to feed you the line. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't come because the woman who broke my ticka is there and I don't want to see her. So
is that
ahead.
What he said?
No, but go ahead. I'm feeding you the line.
All right. So I'm Cameron. I'm from Australia. I don't know where he's from. I didn't come because Claire, you know, Claire, the woman that I was matched with who broke my ticka, I can't be in the same room with her because my heart is broken and I can't survive another heart surgery in just a short period of time. Mm-hmm. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible at this.
No, you're not. I live for the ticka.
I hate it. I'm so bad at it.
But all right. Stop doing it. Orion says hi to Lauren and Lauren just looks the other way.
Lauren literally throws up in her mouth like the rest of us did watching.
I wrote, okay, this doesn't make sense, and you're going to need to correct me, because I wrote, Michael gives a speech about how grateful he is to be matched with Michael.
I mean...
There is a world in which I can see that happening. But I think he's happy to be matched with Chloe.
I'm not going to lie. Michael has turned out to be probably my favorite person on this season.
Oh, on this season? 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I like Becca a lot, too. She's a very close second.
And I like Lauren.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The rest of them.
Isn't Orion your favorite?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just right at the top of that trash pile.
So she says, Chloe says she feels the same. Michael's actively engaged. She really likes, and everybody else is like, fuck you guys. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Becca sobs and says it's really hard to see Austin. Then she says, you know, to the group, she says, I want to just give some thanks here to Lauren, who, you know, just sends daily affirmations and gives us self-help books when we need them. Yeah.
I mean,
I have thoughts about this.
That was a little weird.
My grandmother used to do that to me. And the message I'm receiving is, I'm broken. I'm broken. I'm broken.
Wait a minute. Graham would give you self-help books?
No. Other Graham.
Oh,
Graham would just like make me a grilled cheese and read my palm.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, what are other you talking Graham about?
Was giving me like codependent no more, love yourself.
Fancy?
Yes.
Fancy.
Yep. And my, here's what I think was happening.
My mind is blown right now.
I think people were buying them for her.
Yeah, and she was just like, she was just giving them
to me. Let me give them to the little fat girl. She's broken. Here you
go.
All right. So she
wouldn't say that. Stop.
She wouldn't say that, but there's a reason Jenny never got any of the books. What was I putting out there in the world?
Oh,
they probably took one look at my boyfriends and were like, little here, baby you need this.
Amy.
So I don't think it's a good idea to buy people self-help books unless you're real, real close to them. You know what I mean?
Like, would you buy me one?
Like, I did buy you, if you remember when you got your promotion,
of course,
I bought you a management book because you were like, I want to, you know, do some work in that area, blah, blah, blah.
And that book is on my desk and I have read it.
So if I was like starting a new endeavor or something and you had a book like, you know, how to build a successful podcast, I could see you sending me that. But we've been friends for 30 years.
Right.
I mean, these people know.
I know. Oh,
I mean, I've been friends with Amanda for 2 or 3 years. I wouldn't send her a self-help book.
No.
I just wouldn't.
No.
It's weird. Okay.
No, it's weird.
So,
what do you think about the daily affirmations? I don't know how I feel about it.
Do you want me to give the politically correct answer or my cynical Gen Xer answer?
I want the real answer.
Look, I appreciate the effort. I think it's great. I'd probably read them, but I'm not going to respond every day. I just don't have time. I don't have time. Same. I don't have time doing nothing.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm just sitting over here getting gas, doing dishes. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Ordering groceries.
I spent 4 hours today watching and taking notes on The Truth About Jim, and I want to pinch myself because I love doing this so much.
Making stew, ignoring my messages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you don't even answer my text messages half the time, and I'm not sending you words of affirmation. What the fuck?
Yeah, how do you feel about it? What if I started sending you words of affirmation every day?
I would probably. So here's the thing about me. I would probably answer them because I'm one of those people
that hates
when I text someone and they don't acknowledge that they've seen it or heard it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would probably give like a thumbs up. Like I would.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Would you just double tap the text or would you actually type out a response?
It depends on the message and depends on how busy I am. But I would do one of those two things. Okay. I would always acknowledge.
But then I would be like, okay, I have to mute this conversation because this is getting annoying.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would do that. Do you know what I hate more than anything? Group texts.
I don't mind group texts, but I keep them muted.
Well, yeah, I have to. All right, let me be clear. I don't mind group texts between like 2 or 3 people. I'm talking about like a group.
Don't do that. Don't do that to
and
people.
I'm in a couple of those and I need to be. But sometimes I'm just like,
you're in the Little Miss Recap group text.
I am?
Yes, with me and Amanda.
Oh, but that's just the two of us. Like, that's just the, that doesn't count because it's okay. Just two or, like, it's the big groups where you've got, like, five or six or more people and everyone's responding and they're, and I'm just like, shut my phone up, shut up, shut up. It's like, and you know what it is too? Notifications. Like, I'm one of those people, like, the minute I see an email, I have to read it or delete it or file it because the number
is you're like a, you're an inbox cleaner.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a cleaner of all the boxes.
Okay.
And the minute I see that there's a notification, I get anxiety. And I know this is really dumb. I can't be the only person, though.
Because you're not. You're not the only person.
I feel like it's like, oh, my God. It's like something needs my attention. It's another thing on my to-do list. And I just need to get it off of there.
You are 110% not the only person. This is a whole thing. Like, it's a whole.
I hate it.
A whole thing about being an inbox cleaner.
Like, I'm one of those psychos that even, like, in my work email, I have a folder for everyone or, like, different markets that I work with or groups of people. Everything gets filed immediately after I've read it and responded. They only sit in my inbox if I haven't responded yet so I don't forget not to respond. I'm a psycho.
Okay.
About that kind of stuff. So
you're a minimalist with your email.
With my I do the maximum amount of work, though. That's the problem.
So now while they're talking about Lauren, O'Brien's like, and I would like to chime in on how great Lauren is as well. Fuck you.
Fuck off.
Could you be more patronizing?
Yeah. Can you just
like, oh, thanks. You're going to reassure the group that I'm a good person? Yeah. Thanks.
No one needs your input, fucker.
Who so invites he does this him? Weird speech about how great she is. And she's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And they get into it about the text and he's like, I'm still trying to process that text. And she's like, well, take your time. It's been 9 days. And he's like, oh, you're clocking the days.
Yeah, fuck you, buddy.
And he said, you were psychoanalyzing and projecting. And they get into it. And Emily's like, clearly what we have here is a failure to communicate. Like, it was bad. Lord, it was bad.
It was bad. But you know what? He's one of those people that just doesn't know when to shut the fuck up.
But here's this is a prime example of him being inauthentic, because the minute he was met with some kind of like, he is this nice guy giving this speech about how great she is. And the minute she pushes back a tiny bit, he unleashes. He's,
yep.
So that was there. Yeah. That was there, ready to come out. He just didn't have the fucking balls to do it.
Right. Yep. This is me. He needs someone to open the door every time. He's an asshole.
So Austin, can we look up Austin? Do we know his horoscope sign? You know how they put out the horoscope sign sometimes? I bet you this guy's a Libra.
Oh.
Because he is real uncomfortable with the conflict and immediately comes in and tries to make peace.
A Libra.
And I see a lot of myself in that. Because he's like, okay, guys, all right. Like, you know, seems like nobody wants to be in each other's lives anymore. So let's just not be and move forward.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. It's so weird because speaking of Libras, I have others in my life. And the other people in my life, aside, like, you're the only one that is that way. Every other Libra I know is, like, kind of crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Like, not reliable.
Oh, well, no, that's a Libra thing because we're very, like, whimsical.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, but you're reliable in that. I don't even know how I'm trying to explain this.
It depends on the makeup of the chart, too. Like, I have a lot of earth signs grounding me.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's But I would bet he's got a peacemaker in him. Unlike Cam's pacemaker. No, he doesn't have a pacemaker, but I just want to say it. Say pacemaker in Cam's voice.
Pacemaker.
Say pacemaker for my ticker.
Amy, I've got to get a pacemaker for my ticker. It's going to help my ticker beat.
It brings me such
joy. So it doesn't stop, my heart doesn't stop when I get excited when Claire tries to keep continually breaking my heart over and over. I've got pacemaker that puts it back on track.
So Emily goes, speaking of people we never want to see again, let's talk about Brennan. So Emily's basically saying, like, at the end of the day, we were ready to make this work, and that level of commitment was not met by the men. Now, Austin gets pissed off by this, and I don't blame
him. No, I don't either. I don't either.
He is constantly getting lumped in with Brennan and O'Brien. First of all, O'Brien puffs up and says,
I didn't drag anything out. I knew by day two I wanted out.
And then tries to backpedal, right? Oh,
he's such a dickbag.
I hate him.
He drives me crazy. I'm sure he's a fine human in his life to other people. Not a good showing on this show. Mm-hmm. And he was a piece of shit to Lauren. Mm-mm. Okay. So Austin's like, I feel attacked because my intentions were good. And Emily was like, yeah, but was marriage always your first priority? And he's like, yeah.
I don't know, dude.
Then Lauren calls out Orion and she's like, you didn't fucking cut this off after day two. You sent me mixed signals for like weeks afterwards. Mm-hmm. Austin again, jumping in, trying to mediate. Lauren yells at him at this point. Like, back off, Austin. Yeah.
And I kind of appreciated that a little bit, though, because she is right that she never gets to get a word out because someone is always cutting her off. And I fucking hate that.
Yeah. And I also understand Austin, though, because he's conflict averse. Yes. But he needs to learn to, like, that is a him problem. Mm-hmm. And he needs to just kind of let it happen, which is something I'm still actively working on in my own life. And it's really hard.
And you know
what
I think it is? Some people, and I see him being one of those people, he's just very uncomfortable. Like, you can tell he doesn't know what to do when people are upset. No,
I don't know what to do when people are upset either. I hate it.
No, I mean, I don't like it either, but.
I mean, who likes it? Nobody. But there are people, I think, who tolerate it better than others. Like, I don't tolerate it well at all. I get totally freaked out. So, Austin tries to mediate. Lauren yells at him. Then she calls Orion out for dragging her back into his weirdness on the couples retreat.
Yeah, which he did. She's like, we saw it. Yeah.
Yes. And she's like, I've been trying and trying and you give me nothing and I'm done.
Yep.
Then he musters up a, I thought, semi-sincere apology, I think. I don't know. You can never tell with him.
With who? Orion?
Orion.
I do not believe anything that comes out of his fucking mouth. I just don't. Okay. I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
I would get sucked into a cult. Yes. Because.
But yes. I think everything he does is calculated. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think he's authentic at all. I think he plays a part because he wants to be seen a certain way, but he really is not. Yeah. I'm not here for this bullshit with him.
So Emily and Becca are hilarious because they're like nodding in agreement with everything. And Austin is like, I was hoping we could be friendly tonight. Just be friends. Yeah. Everybody get along.
I know.
Oh, Austin. I'm telling you, this dude, he's either a Libra or like, I could see him being like a Taurus.
I was going to say that because I'm a Taurus. Mm-hmm. And as somebody that can be very combative... And I can be when I'm forced that way. I also really don't like conflict. I have a real hard time with it. I'm always calling you. Like, I have to call you before I have to have an uncomfortable conversation so that I can walk through it first. So you can tell me what to say or what not to say.
I think that's more because I'm a wordsmith. I like to figure out how to approach things. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm good with conflict.
No. Anyway. But what I'm saying is, like, I'm somebody, like, I will be real quick to just lash out and be nasty.
Right.
And I'm really, like, I'm good at being an asshole. So sometimes, like, I know that I need somebody to reel me in and I'll text you or I'll call you and be like, I need you to talk me off a ledge.
Yeah.
I get it. But I
used to be that way too, and now I've instituted the 24-hour policy where if I'm really worked up, I won't do anything for 24 hours about it.
That's a good one. I need to get better at that. Mm-hmm. But with that said, I also like when people around me are not getting, like, if there's conflict around me, that makes me feel very unsafe. So there was a time, oh God. I mean, I'm going back years when I worked at my old job and like two people in the office had like an argument and were like yelling at each other. And I instantly was like real scared and like closed and locked my office door. I get real weird, especially when men are yelling. Like, it just scares me. All right. Back to the real reason we're here. I'll shut up.
Okay. Now the producers are like, can you guys talk about Michael and Chloe a little bit? Kind of just go around, get back to what we're doing here, just so everyone knows the show's not a failure. All right, so then we see Michael meeting up with his Mitch lookalike friend.
Yes.
I was like, is this Mitch? Mitch, you've come back for me.
He came back for you.
He is Michael's only married friend. Uh-huh. Michael, I love you, but you've got to stop overthinking shit. I'm telling you, you're getting the word salad. You're getting the overthinking from one overthinker to another, dude. You got to stop.
I know. As somebody who is also a chronic overthinker, I really, really feel
this. I feel for him.
Because
I feel for him because sometimes you can almost drive yourself crazy.
And I do.
Yeah. So he's trying to balance the negatives and the positives. And what am I? Okay. So this Mitch lookalike is like, dude, doubting yourself is part of being a husband, a father, a human. Like, this is what it is. And then I wrote, Mitch broke down. Mitch really gives some good advice. He's like, stop overthinking and just ask yourself, like, are you happy? And if you're happy, just keep going.
I know.
And I do think he's happy in terms of like, I'm happy in that I respect Chloe and she's nice to me and we live well together and we get along well, but she's not lighting his fire.
I don't think so either. And I don't I don't think it's any fault of her. I just
right,
think
that's just, no dig on her. I mean, she's fantastic.
Yeah, she is.
So Becca is on the phone with her therapist.
You know what? I was wondering who that was and I missed it and I didn't feel like rewinding it to see who it was. And I was like, is that her friend or her mom or who is this?
It was her therapist, which was a wild choice to have your therapy session on camera. And she's like, Austin looks so cute and I wanted to kiss him. And then she starts, you know, was my anxiety the problem here? And the therapist is like, look, last week you said there was no trust and no path forward. So, and Janet does this to me all the time. So I'm curious, what has changed your point of view? And she's like,
that was very therapist-y.
She's like, yeah, you're right. She's like, but I have to remember, and she brings up a good point here. She's like, I have to remember that my anxiety speaks to me. And when I feel like something is off, my anxiety is really high. So I need to learn to listen to it. And I liked that. I thought that was really
cool. I do too. What I cannot understand is why she keeps questioning that she made the wrong choice.
Oh, I totally get that. I totally get that. Because Austin is not a clear-cut bad guy.
No.
So I think there's a part of Becca that's like, am I overreacting? Am I being pulled into the Claire and Emily web? Like, I think there's part of her that is like, there's so many good things about him. But again, like I said last week, if this was a good match, there wouldn't be so many if onlys. If only he could be more honest. If only he could be more forthright. If only he could, like her mother said last week, which was brilliant, there were a lot of things not working in this marriage.
Yeah, I know.
The intimacy, the lying, the trust. Like, there were a lot of things.
I mean, the intimacy thing alone is
his slower intimacy speed.
His no intimacy. It has two speeds, slow and stop.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
I know. I love her, though.
I think Austin is one of those guys that could be a really good guy with direction. And I think that's what was happening. This producer who was they were only friends. There's no romantic connection. Was kind of prodding him along in what to do.
You think?
Becca needs – Becca has said that.
Yeah.
Becca needs somebody who has their own initiative and can do their own thing. And he's just – he's a really good guy who needs to be pushed and guided. Hey, everyone. Stay tuned. Little Miss Recap will be right back after these words.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So she tells the camera, like, she loves Austin as a person and she wouldn't have done this with anyone else. Yeah. And he'll be an excellent husband to someone else someday. Chloe rents a cabin for her and Michael, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And we saw 3 seconds of them eating a charcuterie.
A charcuterie board. Who was the guy that used to call it Carcucci?
I don't know.
It was Olajuwon. He would say Carcucci.
Okay. I don't remember that.
Yes, yes.
Those two were nuts.
Carcucci. I liked
them. Oh, I know, me too. I really did. I'm just like saying they were funny. Yeah. Like, I meant like nutty, like just funny.
Yeah, yeah.
They were fun.
So Michael starts to make sense now, and he explains that he has always celebrated his independence, and this is making him a little nervous. Yeah. She tells him they're just so great together, and she wants him to know that no matter what happens, he has changed her and made her realize that she really wants to do life with someone.
I hope she finds somebody.
Now the girls are doing a boudoir shoot.
I loved this.
I have to say, these women
are stunning.
Not only that, like, all the props to them for not only doing this but doing it on television. This made me very happy.
Me too. I loved every minute of this. Do you know, I've always wanted, would you ever do it?
I think I could do
it. I've always wanted to, but I never, like, who would I take them? Like, I would, like, why would I do that?
Believe it or not, this is very funny because, believe it or not, you know how I'm such a prude, like talking about my sex life, but I am not that way in my sex life. So like, I would totally do this.
Okay.
Because I'm very open with my body. You know what I mean? I just don't like to talk about it.
And you know what's funny is I'm the opposite. I'm all talk and no action. No, that's not true.
I'm all action, no talk.
That's not true. Yep. I'm not uncomfortable talking about it, but I am uncomfortable acting on it.
I'm not at all.
I mean, I wish I wasn't.
I am definitely Dorothy in the streets and Blanche in the sheets.
Like, 100%. Doing a boudoir shot is something that I've always wanted to do, but I'm too embarrassed to actually do it. And what would I do with those photos? Like, I would never show them to anybody.
You give them to your husband and he puts them in his little spank bank.
Patrick would be like, oh. It would just be so out of character for me to do that. I actually think maybe I should just now because it's funny. And I'm going to record his response, his reaction.
I think I'm with you, though. I think it's a great thing. I think women should do this more often because Becca explains that she wants to take their most vulnerable and least favorite body part and show them a different side to it. And it's really great.
And the whole time she was asking these questions, I was like, what would I, if somebody asked me that, I don't know what my answer would be because I hate every part of my body.
My least favorite body part. I would say my belly just because I have such stretch marks from being pregnant. Mm-hmm. But I don't really hate any part of my body.
I do. Like I hate my legs. I hate my arms.
No, I'm fine with my legs and my arms.
My belly I used to hate, but I don't anymore thanks to that tummy tuck.
I love my nose. You know this. I have a perfect nose.
I hate my nose. You do have a perfect nose. I hate my nose.
It's the perfect size and shape. Thank you, Mom and Dad.
It is. I hate my feet. Mm-hmm. I have ugly feet.
Do I need to send you a self-help book on how to love your
body? Lauren, if you're listening, slide into my DMs. I'll send you my address.
I'm going to send you a daily affirmation that you have beautiful legs, arms, nose, hips.
I have tried, and believe me, I have been in therapy for many, many, many years, and I have still not learned how to love my body.
I really think that, and, you know, not to get into this because it's a much deeper conversation, but this is something that plagues a lot of women of our generation because of the parents we grew up with, the diet culture that was instilled into us by our parents. Mm-hmm.
I grew up with a mom that had an eating disorder. I mean,
yeah, it's rough. Hard. It's real rough. Yeah. And they didn't understand obesity at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one could argue that the obesity rate climbed because of the changes in the food system and what we're eating and putting in our body.
I'm sure there's a little bit of all that.
So, like, obesity wasn't a huge problem when they were growing up. So they didn't understand it. It's a whole thing. Anyway. So where am I? She tells them they're doing the boudoir shot.
The boudoir shoot.
And I just wrote, they're stunning. And I wish everyone had the confidence to do this.
Can I tell you how much I loved that Lauren said she loves her skin?
Can I tell you how gorgeous Lauren looked in that picture when she's like from the back and her hair is down past her butt?
She's stunning. They were all beautiful. She's stunning. They were all fucking gorgeous, truly.
Yep. So Chloe and Michael are leaving their apartment. They're so cute. They fumble over like what's meant for you will hit you and not pass you by. Like they're trying to get that right. I don't understand.
It was kind of cute.
He is wearing a full Janet Jackson Control video jacket. And I'm here for it. All right. So now it's their decision day and they're outside and the experts are chatting about Michael and Chloe.
Amy.
Pepper, who it has been brought to my attention, is not a therapist.
Why did I know that? Didn't we know that?
Did we know that?
I feel maybe we did at some point and then we forgot and we made her a therapist along the way. Like we just projected that. I feel like
either way, she needs to go.
Once this beautiful backdoor friend reminded us, I was like, oh yeah, thanks. I did know that. Yep. Why did I change I just changed that for her. I just, you know.
Well, Pepper's like, it seems like the mood has shifted with these two. And Castor Pal is like, oh, he's not sure he's ready for marriage. What, he's not a punk?
Marriage
only punks are ready for marriage.
Can I say something about Castor Pal?
Yes.
I'm going
to
hate
myself. You're attracted to him, aren't you? Do I need to? Okay, let me get it.
Shame.
Amy.
You could be attracted to him. Just don't buy into his misogynistic bullshit.
I would never buy into his misogynistic bullshit.
But objectively, he is a good-looking man. He is
a beautiful man. All right, I'm going to stop.
So, all right. Michael gets there. Oh, we get happy music and everything is great. And then we get to the Green Acres farm scene and the music's like record scratch. Michael gets there. He looks great.
Yeah, he does.
He's wearing shorts.
And I'm here for it.
Suit jacket. I'm into it. I'm into it.
How much I have evolved in my love for Michael over these 75 episodes.
I know.
Because
you know what it is?
I started off like, kind of like not feeling it. I am so there. Show up at my house.
It's his confidence.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. It's not a cockiness.
No.
It's a confidence.
And I love it so much. Yeah. I love it. Yep. Put the pearls on, Michael. I don't even care. Put the pearls on. Yeah.
Put that 1977 sweatshirt on.
And the pearls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chloe looks stunning in a hot pink dress.
She's beautiful.
She sits down and Michael tells the experts what a good human Chloe is and how she's really touched him. Chloe says Michael has had some difficulties letting his walls down. And as that has happened, she thinks he became overwhelmed with the idea of marriage.
I don't know what I think. But okay.
She says he has been very clear that this has been more than he was expecting. And again, I think it's what the type of life she wants to live. And there's nothing wrong with the type of life she wants to live, but it's not for everybody.
It's not.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So do you remember Mitch and Kristen were bumping up against this?
Of course I do.
Because Mitch was like super environmentalist.
Of course.
And Kristen was like, dude, can I just have my coffee in a regular coffee filter? Does it need to be reused? Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. So I think that lifestyle, if you can live it, great. I envy you. But it's not for everybody.
It's not. But I don't know. I don't know.
And I'm not saying – I'm just saying like somebody who holds very strong to their beliefs and values, like Mitch.
Right.
I'm not saying their values were the same.
No. I'm just saying – but like I am one of those people that – I love animals more than most humans, and I would rescue and help and take any animal that I had to.
But you don't. Something stops you. It's because you've done it already. You have three or four of your own. You can't fit any more in your house.
Right.
Like, you're not going to do it to the detriment of your own life.
But is she?
I don't know.
I mean,
she wants to adopt 5 foster teens. That's a lot.
I know, but... The reality of that actually happening, though, I feel like is not great.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I'd love to see what she says after she has, like, 1 or 2.
No, I'm serious.
I'll send my teenagers to live with her right now. She'll send them back. So she says she's been very clear, or she says Michael's been very clear that this was more than he expected. Chloe says, I'm trying not to personalize this. I'm trying not to take it personal. She says, but this has also made me doubt some things. Mm. Like he's, you know, he might not be the right one. And she's right. Chloe says, I'm either all in or all out, and I need a partner that's similar.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
Dr. Pepper now says, have your hopes and dreams maybe intimidated one another? AKA, did you come out a little strong with the kid farm that you want to open? Because basically it sounds like her foster kids are going to be running this farm. She says, well, look, the animal sanctuary and the 18 kids was a me dream, but we are a we now, and I could adapt that. I thought she said that very nicely. I did too.
And I kind of wondered, like, who writes these scripts before they start speaking? Because sometimes I feel like how, like, if I was just put on the spot and, like, made to come up with a response like that, I don't know that I would be so eloquent. Like, do they have time to think this out? Write it out.
These,
like,
are two people who speak very eloquently, are very emotionally intelligent, and have been in therapy each for a long time.
But I mean,
I think
I consider myself to be emotionally somewhat intelligent.
But also, she's had time to think about this because she knew it was going to come up.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? It's not like Dr. Pepper just threw random question.
I
know.
I guess I just
she feel probably like, was thinking about, like, if they bring this up, what am I going
to
say to her?
I guess I just feel like that was, like, a perfect thing to say, and I applauded it because.
They probably have had this conversation off camera 10 times.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I guess.
So Michael says he cannot point to something in Chloe and say, this is what's causing me doubt, but I don't have the confidence and desire to continue a marriage. And Cal says, you have analysis paralysis. And Michael admits overthinking is his biggest problem. Yeah. Cal says, this is empirically good. Like, the evidence here is that this is a good relationship. And Michael says, my guiding compass has always been, how do I feel? Then Dr. Pia finally gets a chance to talk. And she's like, are you guys paying attention to the nonverbals here?
No.
Like, you're really into each other. You're being kind. You're being considerate. You're touching each other. You're, you know, whatever.
Holding hands.
He says, you're glowing when you talk about her.
I know.
Chloe goes first. She says, love is a choice and marriage is a choice. And she wants to keep going because she thinks that they have more story to tell.
I know.
Michael says he has to lean into his compass and he just doesn't feel like he can do that to the degree that he would be comfortable with. Like, see what I mean?
I know.
Verbal salad here. And what you would deserve. So he says, I choose divorce.
And I cried, just so you know. As somebody that really doesn't cry over TV, especially this shit, I cried. I really wanted, I knew they were going to say no because, you know, the internet spoiled everything. But I really hoped that they were going to prove everyone wrong.
Well, he says, even though I'm choosing divorce, it doesn't change anything I said about you and how I feel about you as a person. She says, same, same. She says, I will think the world of you forever. You are a good man. Pepper's crying. Michael's crying. Cal is pissed off.
I mean,
Yeah. Chloe tells the camera, he's not ready, and that's fine. But I did believe that we could have had something more.
Yeah,
and that's the end of the episode. Now, in 2 weeks, it's the fucking reunion.
I can't wait for this shit.
And it looks
fire.
Wild.
Fire. It's a literal dumpster fire, it looks like.
I'm interested. Well, I'm wrong because next week we have some stupid bullshit episode that we will not be here for. But that's the perfect time when we could do our next Lifetime movie.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Or should we do Uncle Buck?
We're not doing Uncle Buck.
Please.
Fuck Uncle Buck.
No!
What's not happening?
Amy, don't ever say that. Take it back.
I'm not taking it back.
That's not nice.
I'm not taking it back.
Uncle Buck is a good man. Don't you fuck ever Uncle talk Buck. About Uncle Buck. I can't. I'm ending our friendship. You guys, I'm ending our friendship over this.
So, listen. Here's what I want to see in the reunion. Okay,
that's
just
like
putting this out there.
Fuck your dad or something. He's the greatest guy ever.
I want to say in this reunion, I better see some pushback on Emily. I want to see Emily be be challenged for what she's saying. Not, believe me, I am not a Brennan defender at all. But I also think Emily's coming in real hard and hot everyone? For some people that don't deserve it.
I agree with that. But
so I'm going to be interested to see the pushback there.
I'm interested in that too. And what I also want to see is somebody pushing back on Claire a little bit. Because
you mean the mastermind.
The mastermind.
Yes. But I do feel like she hasn't really given us much.
I don't know what the fuck other is going than, on like, with those the two. Bullshit. I really don't.
I need somebody to push there. That I'm interested in that. Truly.
Kevin Frazier is going to need a hazmat suit. He's going to need, I don't know, some Valium. Is that a thing? What does Valium do?
It makes you, calms you down. Yes.
Okay. He's going to need some Valium. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's just going to need like a whole body condom to protect himself from all the shit that's going to be thrown.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be wild.
Can't wait for it, though.
So we have next week is a bullshit thing. Yeah. Steph and I will find something to give you.
It won't be Uncle Buck.
Then we have two reunion episodes.
Wait, there's two?
Yes. And then we have a Where Are They Now?
Oh, yeah.
So we still are knee deep in this.
We're not. There's really only three more episodes.
You know, I'm starting to see the light. I'm starting to see the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope next season. All right,
guys.
Where is it going to be? Houston, Dallas? I forget.
The next one? Is it Boston?
No.
Or Austin?
I thought it was Austin. I think it's Austin because I think I just said Dallas. It's definitely not
that
Boston.
That would be season what? 18? Chicago.
Oh. Okay, so it's none of the places that we thought.
It's Chicago.
I like Chicago.
What is this bullshit? Married at First Sight season 18 will take place in Chicago. The upcoming season could premiere as early as April 2024. No. We can't roll right into that. No.
I don't think it does.
No.
I don't think it does. There's no way.
Guys, thank you so much for supporting the show. If you want to hear us talk about cults and murder and soap operas and 90 Day, join us on Patreon. Support the show. If you can't do that, just leave us a review. Share the show with your friends. All of that is just as valuable.
Leave us a good review, not just a review.
Please.
A 5-star beautiful review. And if you have nothing nice to say, just keep going. Just move along.
But if you're gonna hang out for my 5-minute discussion about Apples Never Fall, please do.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. All
right. And it's only the first episode, right?
I only saw the first episode. Here are my initial thoughts. It's based on a book.
Okay.
Written by what's that author's name? They wrote Big Little Lies.
Oh, yes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
Apples Never Fall.
We're the worst.
It's Lane? Lane Moriarty.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay. This shows you the power of a screenplay. Because Big Little Lies was fucking flawless.
Yeah.
This, I'm seeing again, first episode. The positives going forward, of course, I love Annette Bening.
Ugh.
Of course, I love Sam O'Neill. Yeah. Sam O'Neill is a fucking holdie.
Yes.
He could get it.
And so,
he could
let's
get
not
it.
Forget, so is Annette Bening.
She's
gorgeous.
Great, too.
God
yes.
Damn.
I also like their one kid.
Oh, the what surfer kid? In?
No.
Oh, the one from
Jake Lacy.
He was in, I want to say White Lotus.
Yes, mm-hmm. I like him.
I like him too.
I do like him.
I liked them all.
But there's a reason this isn't on HBO Max. There's a reason this is a Peacock show. And I think it's where it needs to be.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Because the writing's not great.
The writing is not great. I will say, I did enjoy the show. I'm not going to lie, though. I hated the way that it ended.
Okay, well, I don't know that yet.
I hated it.
But my first, like, so I go into it thinking, okay, this is not well written at all. And then I'm like, do people really get rich off of tennis academies? But Timmy was like, yes. Tennis people make a lot of money. So I'm like, okay. But then I was like, okay, I think it's interesting to watch the dynamics between the siblings and the parents. That's interesting to me. It reminds me of, what is that show? You know, the one I love, The Brother. in Key West with the family runs the hotel. That brother? Who's that brother?
Oh, he's been in a lot of things. I never remember his name.
And you thought I was crazy.
Yes, because you are. You are crazy.
Bloodline. Okay, so the good brother, of course, is not the one I like.
The hot one.
I like the hot, dirty one.
The one that had the drug problem that was ruining the whole family.
Ben Mendelsohn. Yes.
He is a great actor.
I love him.
He's a great actor.
He was in... Oh, he was in that really good show, The Outsider.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was good. Yes.
Excellent. I think he's really hot. Anyway, it reminds me of that. We have like a affluent white family with four children or whatever. You know what I mean? And you're seeing the dynamics of the siblings. I do like that setup, and I'm intrigued, and I'm going to watch it.
And like I said, the story is good. I genuinely...
But the writing is not as strong as Big Little Lies. No, not even close. Not.
But I did enjoy it.
And this is a good example of like how you can have similar source material that's really strong. Yeah. And it just... And I'm not saying the show's not good, but the writing's way weaker than Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies, those are literally big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they just are.
Maybe a little bit of it is the acting. The acting with some of the siblings isn't great.
That's why I was going to say, I do think a large portion of why Big Little Lies was so great is that cast. I mean, that was a stellar fucking cast.
Yeah. And Annette Bening and Sam O'Neill can't carry the whole fucking thing.
They try, though. And they do a great job. I'm not going to lie. The show was good. I enjoyed it. Like I said, didn't love the ending. Yeah. Whatever.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Steph, I'll let you go.
Thanks.
Go start your day. Have fun.
Love you, Bones.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.